welcome back to another edition of Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes here. I've got a special guest coming up very, very shortly. He's Jaime Macias from MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. He's calling Charlotte FC versus Nashville SC on MLS Season Pass this weekend. He's the Spanish language analyst. I asked him about Kerwin Vargas's contract extension that was announced on Thursday morning. Get his thoughts on this Nashville side that is coming into Charlotte looking pretty good after a 4-1 win over Montreal last weekend. We talk about the Copa America coming to Charlotte this summer, the Champions League semifinals that we watched this week, get Jaime's take on a Real Madrid last second comeback against Bayern Munich on Wednesday. And of course, we talk about Messi's MLS dominance. At this point, you've just got to admit what Messi is doing in MLS right now is absolutely absurd. Jaime sits down in Miami. He's got a front row seat to what we're seeing in MLS, which is an absolutely historic season from maybe the greatest player of all time. So many great topics to talk about. So let's get right to it. It's now time to welcome in our special guest. He's Jaime Macias from MLS Season Pass. He's a Spanish language analyst. He's covered global football for the entirety of his career, starting at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. Not a bad place to start your career, Jaime. Thanks so much for joining Charlotte Soccer Show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, John. A pleasure talking to you. Yeah, it's the South Africa thing. It's hard because when every time they ask me what's the best World Cup you've been, right? And I think that it has so many emotional attachments that I cannot be not be biased on my opinion, right? Because even though I did three after that, that feeling of the first time, the knowing the unexpected things, like, it's very special.
There's no doubt about that. The World Cup is just a special tournament in general, and who knows, maybe the World Cup here in North America has a chance to maybe top it here in a few years for one of the highlights of your career covering. You've worked for ESPN, you've worked for beIN Sports, MLS, the Spanish language team, and now MLS Season Pass. You're in Miami today conducting this interview. You're flying up to Charlotte this weekend to call the match, Charlotte FC and Nashville FC. It's a massive match this weekend, actually. I know you're diving into prep, but all of a sudden Charlotte finds itself sixth on the table, Jaime. And with the win this weekend against Nashville, can get up to 17 points on the season. And all of a sudden it feels like things might be cooking for the crown here in Charlotte.
This season's looking good. And I think that one of the keys on this year is that everything arrived on time, decisions were taken very early on the season, and a lot of things that in previous season for different reasons didn't click, they clicked. Like the context of the new coach when the franchise started and he reserved the DP spot for his wingers. Those wingers never arrived or were not able to play for different reasons. So like the main strength of his team was not there. Then you get a manager change, and it took Latancio, I think, the last 6 months of his first season to shape the team to what he wanted. And I think Latancio is a good coach, but there was a point on the previous season where I feel that what he wanted as a coach, probably the squad didn't have the capacity to give it. So Charlotte gave us some great moments in games. There was quality in certain moments, but was never giving us a 90-minute performance, right? And that's where the season turned a little bit difficult. And probably the most pragmatic Latancio we saw was the one towards the end of the season, the one that qualified for the playoff. But I think that it was too late for him to keep his job.
You've hit the nail on the head as far as inconsistency is concerned. We basically called the 2023 season a roller coaster. Really, when you showed up to the match on a Saturday, it was really hard to figure out exactly what version of Charlotte FC you were going to get. Under the new manager, Dean Smith, things have, you mentioned it, the word pragmatic. It's been like that this season for Dean Smith. He's been able to run a really basic 4-2-3-1 system, highlighting some speed on the wings. News this morning, Kerwin Vargas, the Colombian, in the roster as an under-22 initiative player right now, signs an extension through 2027 with a club option in 2028. In the past, Jaime, we have had a phrase on the show that's protect Kerwin Vargas at all costs. He's a really young, high ceiling player. What's your take on Kerwin Vargas and his performance in MLS so far?
I think that he had been finding his place on the team. I think that I think that he's a great one-on-one player. He's a player that decides correctly after he won his one-on-one duel. That's what I think that those players that play on the outside are different, right? The guys that play more in the inside, they decide fast and quickly to avoid a 1-on-1. How do I avoid this guy that's coming towards me and I find somebody in a better position? The guys that play from the outside, they need this thrive of winning the 1-on-1 for then take the best decision, right? And I think that in that pragmatic version of Latanzio at the end of last season, we start seeing some of his best version, and that has continued in this season. I think that Dean Smith has organized the team. The team, it's a collective structure as a block, but he gives some freedom going forward, and that's where Kevin has been making the difference. Sometimes when you try to predetermine what a player should do, you take the creativity, you take the emotion, and you know, sometimes you need emotion and this uncertainty to perform, right?
Absolutely. And emotion is something that we've seen at Bank of America Stadium. You will see it in person on Saturday night against Nashville. The upper deck is open. I know over 30,000 tickets have already been sold. I expect anywhere between 40 to 60,000 people in the stadium on Saturday night. This fan base has done a tremendous job of uplifting this squad, and only one loss at home, I think, at this point in the last, I think it's 15 or 16 matches in all competitions at home. So heading into this game on Saturday night, when you're thinking about a Nashville side that has been pretty good, what do you think about this game from an analyst point of view?
So I'm a very big fan, and sorry that I was looking down. I'm nowhere near on camera, but I was looking down, and I was trying to find something that I wanna present you, right? That it's where does Dean Smith come from? And Dean Smith come from a guy called Rob Greenwood. He was one of the best managers in England. He managed the national team. He was very famous on West Ham United. And I think that their background of overperforming their teams is exactly what Charlotte needed, right? And I think there are two ways of talking about this. It's like, the season has been great. It's great. Do we expect it to be this high? Probably not. And that's the manager overperforming the team. And I'm not talking about the quality. It's where he took the team, where the failures were of the team, and where the team is being now. Like the only exception to the rule is probably Minnesota. But all the other games, the outcome has been, if not logical, above what you expected. Win, loss, or draw, nobody has wiped the team out of the field. They have been in the fight every single game without the score. And I think that's kind of what I see. I see a game that it's not going to end until the whistle is blown, because Charlotte, it's in this season, is that type of team. It's a team that, if it doesn't matter the score, it's always in the game. And it's a team that does not suffer, right? Last year, there were games where you were winning, but you were suffering. Kalina was a key player, and he was like, yeah, it's too open for having an advantage. It's too open for winning. And the other side, that for, I don't know, 10 years in U.S. soccer between MLS or USL, we always knew what a Gary Smith team was going to give us, right? We always knew. And if plan A didn't work, there was no plan B, but plan A worked every single season, right? And I think that for example, what Gary Smith did with a new team, it's an example in MLS, right? Because, yeah, there was a time where the league was not that competitive when a new team was coming to the league that team can have an impact. Atlanta did it. LAFC did it on their first season, right? But Nashville had been competing since day one. And they started their MLS appearances the same time that Inter Miami did, right? So they are an example, and Gary Smith is key on that. But for the first time, he has changed. He has an offensive squad. He's playing back three because that's the way he has to put more guys forward, right? He find a solution because Sturridge and Mukhtar, they were not performing together. They were both having individual numbers, but they were none of them were having goals and assists when they were playing together. So then he changed the system. He brought Schaffelberg as a winger. So it's a false back three, right? Because the fullback on that back three, it's probably the most offensive guy he has in the squad. So this rebuild of Nashville is very interesting, and it's still a lot of question marks once, because the Nashville we've seen against Montreal, the Nashville we're going to see in Charlotte, tactically, you cannot compare it to the team that started the season, the team that played the first 5-6 games. Sorry for the long thing, but when I'm listening and start more ideas come to mind.
Yeah, oh no, don't apologize whatsoever. I think that's fantastic analysis. And you've hit the nail on the head as far as Nashville coming in here hot, scoring goals against Montreal. In fact, if you go back to March 16th, when Charlotte went to the Music City and lost 2-1, you mentioned Surridge, Sam Surridge, a player that I came out of that game unbelievably impressed with. I think he leads the line really well for this Nashville team, and I think he's a goal scoring threat. And I think, you know, heading into this match on Saturday night, even though Charlotte's coming off of a win at home, always cooking well at home, I think this is a definitely, like you said, a game that could come down to the final minutes and is totally up for grabs just a few days out. And you know, for me personally, I'm so glad that you're here because there's just so much happening in the world of soccer right now, specifically in MLS. I think this game on Saturday night is going to be really exciting here in Charlotte, and I think it's going to be one of the best venues this weekend. I'm so glad that you can see it. And by the way, you can catch Jaime on MLS Season Pass, the Spanish language broadcast on Saturday night on Apple Plus. Make sure, if you're not able to get to the game, make sure you check him out there. But you can also see him on throughout the season covering many different matches. You're sitting in Miami now, so I just have to ask. And what's the vibe like down in Miami right now? Because when you bring on Lionel Messi, when you sign Suarez, and you have Busquets, there's obviously this feeling of hope, this feeling of you're going to see great soccer, and you've seen it now play out on the pitch. It's been a beautiful thing to watch this Inter Miami team come together and play so well.
Yeah, and the thing is that Messi still, like for me, the Messi is so big, so important in a soccer context, right? That he still impresses, right?
Right,
like when it looks like there's nothing more he can do, like, because if you go to watch a Messi game, right, and you like soccer, you've seen him do a lot of things in the last 15 years, so you're expecting to see greatness, right?
Right.
But you go and you're still impressed. There was, by the time I was calling La Liga, I said like, in conference or talking with people who was studying journalism and analysts, like, Messi is a nightmare for the analyst, right? Because when you are analyzing a game on air, you're explaining what's happening, why it's happening, what's the possible outcome, what's the possible solution, right? And then he comes and scores 3 goals, and the team you were not criticizing, but you were pointing not having a good game or not performing or making mistakes, wins 3-0, right? And if I transfer these to the NBA, it can happen because there are five players on the pitch. The Messi of the NBA is one-fifth of the team, right? This is the most collective of the collective sports. Soccer is the most collective of the collective sports. And he still do that. So I think like I try to make an effort to enjoy it, because I think that when he retires, everything we see is gonna look so average in the world of soccer.
I think you're right about that for sure. And it's kind of one of those situations, right, where don't take for granted what you have, because once it's gone, you're going to look back and say, wow, that was incredible.
Look, the Haaland numbers are only in the last couple of seasons, right? In terms of what City have won or what he have done individually, including the time in Dortmund, they are above, they're only over the Messi or Cristiano package, right? And we're debating Haaland because we have that comparison. If you take those two guys out of the comparison, nobody will debate Haaland. We're just debating Haaland, one of the greatest talent of the future generation, because we have these two guys to compare him with.
Right. They've set the standard. There's no doubt about that. And Messi is
Yeah.
doing that in MLS right now. And I think there was a lot of criticism around Messi mania, if you will, just like all eyes on Inter Miami, all eyes on Messi all the time during that first season when he was getting newly acclimated into the league. He goes and wins a cup in his first competition with Miami, brings some silverware. And then all of a sudden you're into this offseason, you think to yourself, wow, we're going to see it now play out for a full season. And the numbers that he's putting up is absolutely ridiculous. And anybody that had any criticism of Messi mania whatsoever and thought maybe that Messi was coming here to the United States to play retirement football, if you will, they've been proven wrong very, very quickly, Jaime.
There is something that I try to explain, because I am a very soccer nerd. Like for example, I was in an interview with SiriusXM last week, and they asked me, "Well, what team will you turn on the TV to watch MLS?" And I said, "I will turn on to watch Montreal Whitecaps. I really like how that team play. And like I like those, like now everybody talks about Columbus. I love Columbus last season. Why? Because I love Montreal, Wilfred Nancy Montreal. I'm a soccer nerd. But by being a soccer nerd, we know that MLS has been in the table of the big European transfer in the last 2 to 3 seasons. We know that MLS is the league that put the most number of players put the players in more national teams in the past World Cup, was one of the 7 leagues with the most players in the World Cup, right? We know that. How do we transfer that to the casual fans? How do the fans know? And I think that there are three names in the history of the US soccer at a club level that are key. Messi is one of them, but Pele came to say to the world, in this country, soccer is being played. Beckham put in the global sphere a young league that was 10, 11 years old, that was structurally one of the best leagues in the world, but quality-wise was very far behind. And now Messi, it's showing that thing on performance that we, the soccer nerds, knew to the casual fan. Because when you turn on the TV to watch Beckham, you're not gonna be impressed with what you see around on the quality at that time, if you are a European League fan or you're a South American League fan. If you turn up the TV to watch Messi in Apple TV today, a lot of the comments from my big soccer friends is like, "Actually, it's a good team, man. Hey, Cincinnati, I like what I see. The guy Giakoumakis, very good, right?" And the real impact, we're not gonna see it today. We didn't saw it at the end of last season. We're not gonna see it at the end. We're probably gonna see it a little bit more in the future, but we're living through the process.
It's a beautiful thing to see. And the fact that Charlotte FC is in the same conference, Charlotte FC will play Inter Miami this season. Whether Messi will be on the pitch here in Charlotte, that's coming around the Copa America window, probably not. Charlotte got its Messi experience last year on Decision Day. It was a fantastic night of Bank of America at Bank of America Stadium. And you know, since I have you here, and you are a soccer nerd, by the way, there's a lot of people on this show that are soccer nerds as well, and a lot of listeners that are soccer nerds as well. So everybody can relate to that feeling.
I'm so nerd that I'm gonna show you where I lived. I'm reading a book that is called Soccer Behind the Curtain, that is that all the Western European teams that nobody get to know them in an era where soccer was not global, especially if you were in the other side of the curtain. So yeah, that's what I'm reading, man.
Well, I tell you what, that's exciting, because we've got a book recommendation out of this interview as well. So anybody who's listening to the show, Soccer Behind the Curtain, make sure you get out there and read that. Sounds fascinating for sure. We mentioned Copa America, the Copa semifinal and third place game taking place in Charlotte this summer. And, you know, we like to say Charlotte is a soccer city. The sport is alive and well here, Jaime, but there's a lot of casual fans here as well that when they hear that the Copa America semifinal is in Charlotte and could feature a team like Brazil or a team like the United States at that level, at that pinnacle of the sport, what does that necessarily mean? Like a Copa America semifinal in Bank of America is a massive deal, isn't it?
It's a massive deal, and it's a great venue for soccer. We've seen it almost full for some Charlotte specific games. I think that the location of the stadium is one of the best locations. You got the two highways getting you there, right? It's a very easy in and out access.
It's walkable as well too. I mean, if you're
in downtown, it's walkable. Yeah. But what I mean is, if you're coming from the lakes or you're coming from Colombia. Colombia is a country in South America. Colombia, or from the cities around, you can get easily to that stadium. So I think it's a great location. It's a great hub. It's not going to be in the World Cup. I think it's the only stadium from the Copa America that is not going to be in the World Cup. But there is a lot of soccer coming to the U.S. in the next couple of years, starting next year with the Club World Cup. Charlotte has hosted some big games from top European teams, so I think that it's the relevance of the sport in the city, right? When the previous World Cup was hosted, and when all this fever of European team friendly started, the locations were selected basically because of connections, big cities, a lot of things to do, non-sport connection purposes, right? And saying this, I'm not saying that you don't have anything to do in Charlotte. No, you have a lot of things to do in Charlotte. But now the venues are being selected because of the connection with that sport and the heritage of that sport. That's why we are seeing a common pattern of where the teams are going and why they are coming back, and Charlotte is one of those cities.
You mentioned Real Madrid and a team that, or you mentioned big time European clubs coming to Charlotte, and I should say Real Madrid is one of those teams, a team that just booked its ticket to the Champions League final, a team that's scheduled to play a friendly against Chelsea in Bank of America Stadium this summer as well. It's a summer of soccer here. Real Madrid, an epic final 5 minutes in the Champions League. You're a soccer nerd. I know you've got eyes on the Champions League semifinals. I know you do. So I want to hear your take on the match just yesterday. Now we're recording on Thursday. It was Wednesday afternoon here in the States, and it looked like Real Madrid was going to fall at home. And the first thing I need to ask you about is Thomas Tuchel's decision to take off Harry Kane in that moment. What did you think when you saw those substitutions at 1-0 late in the match?
Let's rephrase. I got two tweets yesterday. Well, one Instagram post, and like, I have a photo with Carlo Ancelotti when he was unemployed, and I said like, today's a great day to post that one back. And I asked a couple of friends, I should post this because I'm not sure about social media. What I mean is we have a cool job, and I'm very shy on what do I post because I don't want to be showing off of where I am, right? I don't know what the line is where I deserve to be or where I'm lucky to be. So I'm very cautious with that. And the second one, this was a tweet, was it's gonna be a surprise when it's not Epic, because that's what Real Madrid have shown us in the last couple of years in the Champions League. Like, the day they outscore somebody, that's gonna be a surprise, because it's like they need it to be Epic. It's like they're recording something that they're gonna release at some point, man. It's amazing, but it's like they and in my book I talk like what's hierarchy in sports, and hierarchy it's in those key moments, knowing that the history of the shirt or the logo you are wearing says that every time this happened, the story end up your side. So you never stop believing. And when you're another team, it's the opposite. It's like, when this is gonna go sideways? When this is gonna go sideways, right? And it's, as we say, as Messi still impresses us, it was amazing yesterday from an emotional point, but were you surprised? We could
I
have made
was
a hundred half analysis on
right.
why, where, what, but were you surprised?
No, I was more surprised that Harry Kane was subbed off with 5 minutes left to go in the biggest match of the season for Bayern than I was surprised that Real Madrid came and pulled two goals out of the hat in the final minutes, right? I just, to me, it just was an interesting decision by Thomas Tuchel at that moment of the game. And I think Real Madrid was still playing to win in that moment down a goal. They weren't just playing for one goal in extra time, right? They're playing for two. And it felt like Bayern, to me, went into a shell, said, hey, we've got to hold on in this final 10 minutes. And if you're going to do that against Real Madrid, at the Bernabeu, you're in trouble.
Yeah, for sure, because it's the fear. What I mean is he would never have taken Hurricane out in his stadium, right? But it was the fear of this big massive field coming towards us, and some people don't relate, and it's the influence that a crowd can have in a team. And I'm not talking about the chants as you hear in South America or in other leagues. It's like you feel tension and you feel confidence. And when the guy that is sitting in row 100, it's nervous, you can feel on the field. And when the guys are confident, you can feel on the field. And probably it sounds so obvious, but it happened. And I feel that the confidence that that stadium reflects make probably not take the right decisions. Taking that away, and I don't want to be a critique on that, but there are too many questions on Kane's performance on key moments, right? So it has become a thing, right? It's because people start talking about it, it became a thing, or is that it's really a thing? Kane in real pressure situations, Kane in real important games, in real tough scenarios. I don't know the answer. I'm just throwing a question, right? But it cannot be a coincidence that a guy with that quality haven't achieved silverware, right? I remember there was a goalkeeper in the South American in Ecuador. He was very good, and a team was we were debating with a friend of a team they were going to sign him. And the other option was way below him, right? And I said, like, why was your mindset? I said, like, man, on paper, this one is better than this one. But he had been relegated seven times. So you just like, just because, right? Just like, I don't know, but it does not give me a good a good feeling.
Well, it's professional sports, right? It's at the end of the day, we can talk about players and we can look at attributes on paper, but it's a results-based business, right? And Real Madrid and Ancelotti, they got it done again. Harry Kane did not. It's going to be a fantastic final. I think Real Madrid and Dortmund should be a great Champions League final. And it should be a great match, by the way, on Saturday night. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for you to get to town more than anything. I know you've got some family here in Charlotte. I know you're familiar with the area, so it's awesome to have you flying up from Miami to get here to Charlotte. I was looking at the weather on Saturday. I mean, it looks like 75 and sunny. It should be a perfect match day. We're going to be hanging out at Hop Fly Brewing Company before the match, a little tailgate on Saturday, having a good time. And I know people can catch you on Apple for that call on MLS Season Pass, the Spanish language broadcast. I just want to say it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. It's been great to meet you. It's been great to talk to you. We'd love to have you back to talk soccer anytime. And where can people find you on social, right? You said is it Instagram handle or?
Instagram and Twitter, my Jaime F. Macias. I arrive early when you can get the same handle in every social media.
Yep.
Jaime F. Macias. I need rain Friday night, man. So because every time I go to the go. What's the name now? The track house, motorsport complex. And when I get a little bit of rain, it's more fun to race the go-karts on the rain than in the dry. So, but right. I love the area. I love the city. So man, and anytime you need me, I'm happy to talk about any direction on soccer.
I love it. It's a pleasure to have you, Jaime, and we'll talk to you soon. Safe travels up here to Charlotte. And maybe we'll get it has been raining the last couple of days, so you might get a wet track on Friday night and then a clean pitch on Saturday night for the match. Thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Take care. Thank you.